from the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Checks in Tuesdays with us down in Jacksonville. We'll let you know how you can get his podcast, very popular, entitled Gators Breakdown. Dave, since we've been talking transfer portal, name, image, likeness, and Arch Manning and whatever, review again for everybody the transfers that Dan Mullen has coming in.
Yeah, Bill, they needed help up front on defense, and they addressed that pretty early. Antonio Valentino, or some people will know as Antonio Shelton from Penn State, comes in, and Daquan Newkirk from Auburn. So you have Shelton Valentino. He changed his name a couple months ago, so that's kind of how I have to explain it there. But
right.
He's more the kind of emotional leader, has a lot of playing time at Penn State in the Big Ten. But you go and look at his YouTube videos that he's put out or some fans have put out, and he's kind of that vocal leader up front for, you know, what now would be for Florida. And Bill, that defense last year, I think, was missing an attitude, missing a certain confidence. So maybe something like that can help, at least in that regard. Of course, you got to fix everything that's on the field, and that starts with better play up front, I think, as well. But you know, Florida needed some emotion, need something right on that defense. So, you know, hopefully that's one step in the right direction. Doesn't mean anything if you can't go out there and play, but, you know, at least – probably going into spring, bringing somebody in, some experience, bringing somebody who Dan Mullen said both of these guys, Bill, come in right away and, you know, kind of commanded leadership of that side of the ball, and they probably need that more than anything right now, coming off that disappointing 2020. And then Newkirk from Auburn. Battled some injury history, Bill. Didn't get to play a whole lot at Auburn. So bring some SEC experience there. But Florida needed numbers more than anything. Now, you do have guys who have experience playing big-time college football, so that is an addition. But you had Gervin Dexter, the five-star defensive tackle slash defensive end at times last year, who played a good bit for Florida. They needed help. They needed somebody to help him who he didn't need to be on the field almost every play, almost every snap, who could provide some depth at defensive tackle. So Florida needed some help up front. They addressed it there in the transfer portal for this defense. And, Bill, I think the biggest thing, this defensive front with these two guys need to help the linebackers out. And don't get me wrong, the linebackers themselves can improve, but too many times, Bill, they just – The linebackers got mauled by opposing offensive lines. That's just because the defensive line couldn't do their job. So I think if you got guys who can be some space eaters, you got guys who can go make some plays and keep the offensive line off the linebackers, then these linebackers can fly around and make some plays. So get two experienced guys here that can really help in that regard.
Yeah, numbers. And I tell you, at Florida, are there some other areas – on the roster that still needs some patchwork?
I'll go back to linebacker. Ventrell Miller, who, I mean, he's getting mocked in the first round. I know a lot of Gator fans are kind of surprised. I'm surprised a bit as well with these early 2022 mocks. But yeah, linebacker, they definitely need some help. Mahmoud Diabate really came on toward the end of the year last year. I like what I saw from him with his speed. But the one black, Bill, who a great story here for Florida. He was a high school recruit two cycles ago. Had to do a lot of work in the classroom, moved to Florida from Mississippi to try and help in that regard. He didn't play football his senior season, tried to get his grades in order, ended up playing basketball that spring, but didn't get the grades up in time, so he had to go the JUCO route, played there 2 years ago. They didn't get to play last year because of the pandemic, but he was the number one JUCO in America. He was I know he was a five-star at one time. I don't remember if he ended up a five-star when that class was all said and done, but he can come in and help this linebacker core immediately. He'll be, when Florida plays their first game of the year next year, when they hit fall camp, he's going to be one of the best athletes on the field. He can play that star, that safety nickel hybrid role, the nickel linebacker hybrid role if Florida needs him to, but I think they're going to try him out at linebacker just to see if they can get some more production there to help Ventrell Miller out, to help Mahmoud Diabate out. And this spring, Bill, I heard really good things. Like I said, we didn't get to see a whole lot this spring, but was hearing really good things about Tyron Hopper. It was a highly coveted linebacker. May have been the best player all spring there for Florida. So Tyron Hopper and Derek Wingo, who was a true freshman last year, came on this spring as well. So that I'll stay on defense and say that Florida needs some help there. They got a lot of young prospects like Wingo and Hopper and DeJuan Black who need to come in and step up. But I think the athleticism is there, Bill, and they just got to tap into that. So Christian Robinson, there was all the rumors that he was going to go to Michigan this offseason. He ends up staying at Florida, the linebacker coach there. So Florida's got a lot of work to get there, but I do think they have the right pieces there to get that linebacker position in play. But also, Bill, offensive line. So Florida's got to figure out something there. Maybe the shift in offense helps with John Hevesy and having a whole ton of experience in this style of quarterback run heavy, and you got these running backs who give you five deep. The offense is going to change. I think that can help the offensive line. The right side of the offensive line that struggled, especially with Gene DeLance. He was better at run blocking than pass blocking. I won't say he was great, but that was there as well. But some of these young guys have got to come around. Ethan White's got to stay healthy. His potential is, I think, through the roof right now. But he's got to be able to stay healthy, and they got to find a way to replace Stone Forsythe and Brett Heggie. There's Stone Forsythe, Bill, for all the problems on Florida's offensive line. The right side, Gene DeLance, at least for Kyle Trask, he can see that pressure coming all the time. He didn't have to worry about his blind side there with Stone Forsythe there on his left side. So I think Richard Garage there on the left side at left tackle gives Florida some experience there, but it is Josh Braun, Michael Tarquin, some of these young guys to step up. Because, Bill, and this gets on Gator fans' nerves, and like, hey, why does Gene DeLance keep getting trotted out there at right tackle since he struggles so much? Well, isn't it somebody else's job to go out there and beat him? I mean, if we're going to sit there and complain about the same guys going out there and playing, well, it's up to the young guys to go out there and prove themselves that the older guy doesn't deserve to be on the field, and some better play is there. But until that happens, I think fans and everybody else out here can expect Gene DeLance to go out there and play until somebody else proves that they can go out there and get the job done.
Perry Mason from the Orange Groves of America down in Florida says, ask Dave about the latest commitment. A few days ago, Isaiah Bond listed as an athlete out of Buford, Georgia.
Yeah, Bill, listed as an athlete. 24/7's own rankings had him as the 237th ranked prospect, so pretty up there, but Rivals and ESPN are kind of lagging behind. So he's a three-star on the composite, but he is a four-star on 24/7's own rankings. Bill, 10.48 in the 100-meter dash this past Saturday, so they are getting a speedster here at the wide receiver position, and the coaching staff sold him on the Kadarius Toney role. And look, it's going to be a bit different. Now, they sold him on this role, basically saying you can play outside, you can play inside, we'll give you some sweeps, sweep handoffs to use that speed, but he's going to have more top-end speed than Kadarius Toney. Now, I don't know about the home run threat, and he's definitely not going to have the agility and you know, make somebody tear their ACL trying to tackle you type of move that Kadarius Toney had. But the staff was able to sell him on that role to get the ball in his hands in a multitude of ways to be able to use his speed. So pretty good pickup there for Florida. He's got some big-time offers, you know, Miami, Florida, Georgia, Alabama. I still think he says he's going to take that Alabama visit still. So something to keep an eye on. But this staff was able to sell him, Billy Gonzalez, wide receiver coach. You know, Florida was able to sell. You know, Alabama's putting wide receivers in the league like crazy, too. But Florida's not far behind these last couple of years, Bill, and putting wide receivers in the league. Not that top end, you know, all these wide receivers going in the first round, but they are putting players in the league. And I think that reputation is really helping on the trail and getting guys like Bond here.
One more question. Just Business down in Hoover, Alabama says, ask Dave about Tebow at Jacksonville. What's the chirping locally like about that?
That's pretty poor, Bill, and I was sworn to secrecy when I knew that he worked out for the Jags in February, but I basically had to sign my name in blood that I couldn't say anything on that one. So it was not supposed to come out the day before the draft. All the word of Tebow and the Jags was supposed to come out after the draft, but you know how that stuff works. So
right.
Come out the day of the draft and made headlines until all the Aaron Rodgers storylines and all that kind of stuff too. But yeah, worked out. You'll give him a shot at tight end, Bill. And look, I have my doubts if it works out. It's a position he's never played. He hasn't played football in years. But you know, I don't get the all the upheaval of, oh, he's taking somebody's roster spot, or he's going to be on a close to 90-player roster going into training camp. If he makes it, okay. I mean, he went out there and proved he deserved the spot. If he goes out there and fails and doesn't make the team, then it doesn't really hurt anybody. So I don't get the upheaval. I know people are saying they're trying to just relive some memories between Meyer and Tebow. It's like, look, he either makes the team or he doesn't. I don't think Meyer's going to put his job on the line just to have Tim Tebow on the roster with his first NFL job. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. I like I said, that final 53-man roster comes out for the NFL. I don't expect Tebow to be on it, but I also don't see any point in trying to see if there's some magic there with Tim Tebow at a different position.
I know they're both professionals, but the moment where they have to tell Team Tebow he didn't make the roster, I still can't imagine that being comfortable.
Yeah, you're right, Bill. I've thought about that too. And yeah, as good as they're friends, I mean,
right? Right.
Meyer just bought his house in Jacksonville. It's in the same neighborhood as Tim Tebow. So I mean, and they've been close. Of course, they've been close. So we'll see where it goes. I imagine it wouldn't be a comfortable conversation, but I would imagine the respect between the two.
Hey, Dave, there's the music. Tell everybody how they can get Gators Breakdown. Did we lose you? Oh. Well, I can tell everybody, Crazy Charlie, anywhere they carry audio, you can find Gators Breakdown. Doesn't matter where. Just Google it and you'll get right to it. Gator Dave and the name of the podcast, very popular, Gators Breakdown. Now, Dave, appreciate it. We are clear until GRIP, which is about an hour from now, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic's on the increase out here as expected, coming down 65 out of Robertson County down through Millersville. Traffic's picked up even more in the last few minutes through Mount Julia. They were working a wreck a few minutes ago on 40 East over there at Donaldson Pike near the airport. It wasn't causing too much of a backup, just some flashing lights. 40 Eastbound at the 193-mile marker. That's a crash there on near McCroy Lane. You may see that as you come in from Kingston Springs. True Friends Moving Company is hiring. Call today, 240-2811. They're online at True Friends Moving Company.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Buying or selling a car is one of the biggest financial decisions you can make. That's why Edmunds has been taking the guesswork out of car shopping for over 50 years. Wherever you are in the process, Edmunds.com can help. They have tons of local listings for new and used vehicles with deal ratings that tell you if an offer is fair. And their free online tools can help you build your budget, calculate financing, or even get a free appraisal if you're selling or trading in. Not sure where to start looking? The Edmunds editorial team test drives over 300 new vehicles a year, reviewing almost every car on the market so you can narrow down your search to their top-ranked SUVs, trucks, and more. And it's all about price, right? Price point. If you're selling or if you're buying, you know, you get that free online appraisal for your trade-in, and also the price checker makes you feel more confident with the price quotes that you're getting. Whether you're just browsing to know exactly what you want, Edmunds gives you that extra boost of confidence. Visit Edmunds.com to get started. For cars, there's Edmunds.
DQ presents... Picture this. Picture the new DQ Summer Blizzard Treat Menu with iconic flavors that taste like instant summer. You order the one and only Drumstick Blizzard with peanuts. Oh, wow. Crunchy waffle cone pieces, world-famous DQ Soft Serve, and Blue Sky Bliss. Or maybe you get the Brownie Batter Blizzard. Ooh-wee. Fudgy brownie goodness. You're feeling breezy and dreamy all over. Moments like these are why the new DQ Summer Blizzard Treat Menu exists. Get it delivered at DQ.com. DQ. Happy, tastes good.
At Slim Chickens, you and your family are our first priority. In every restaurant, we're working to ensure our food is safe, fresh, and ready when you are. From in-store pickup, curbside service, or now, you can get it delivered right to your door. Just order online or through the Slim's app. We're here for you, and we're ready to serve. Download the Slim Chickens app to order, earn rewards, and get it delivered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville. Against all better judgment and no half-stepping, Redneck Nation is now full-time. Nashville Sports Radio is serving up the best coverage of your Nashville Predators. When the clock hits 5, the Renegades of Puck are on the air twice a day, a.m. or p.m. Every weekday at 5, Crazy Charlie and the Renegades of Puck give you Predneck Nation. If the clock says 5, Predneck Nation is on Nashville Sports Radio. If it's the P5, the G5, or a neutral site game in Council Bluffs, the Bill King Show has it covered.
Happy Tuesday, if you're just checking in. Of course, we've been here for a while. But nonetheless, happy Tuesday. 615-844-5600 on the F&M Bank hotline. We're broadcasting from the Strike and Spare Studios. Two different studios. Crazy Charlie and the Enter 615, I should say, Enter 615 area. And I'm out here in the Wilco location where I've been located for, 5 years plus. I don't even know. Somewhere in there. You know, you do so many shows and you lose track of everything. I'll tell you what happens to me a lot, too. Having done so many shows through the years dating back to the late 80s, 87-ish, 88, I'll have somebody say, Bill, you remember that? And I'll remember all the name, pretty much all the people, but some moment on the show of some sort. Sometimes I won't remember. There's so many of them. I've even heard Crazy Charlie play a clip. Now, it doesn't happen much, and it hasn't happened in a while, where I won't even remember having said that. Now, I'm on tape saying it, so I obviously said it, whatever it might have been, but I just don't remember the moment when that happened. There's been so many of them. Yeah, and we're going to add many more to that list, but that's a thing. That is a thing. Shannon up in South Bend says, Bill, I was watching college football, and Shannon's a big Notre Dame fan from West Palm area, but moved up there in college and stayed up there. Says, Bill, been watching some college football highlights. I was watching them last night, he says. And there was a list of the top five moments that probably ticked off Nick Saban the most. He says, do you think the kick six back in 13 versus War Eagle would be number one? I got to imagine, he says, 109-yard TD return still gives him nightmares. I would think that would be number one. Kevin Hagan may have specificity in more detail about another moment, but I can't think of another moment. I can't think of one. Because that game, obviously it's Auburn. There's not a game you play at Alabama more important, now regular season, than Auburn. Auburn, Alabama is an obsession both ways. It's something that's in your mind and in your existence and in your bones and in your bloodstream and in your DNA every day of the year. You don't go a day without thinking about it. You don't go, oh, man, I hadn't thought about them in a while. What are they up to? Now, again, you may have fans say they disrespect the other side and they really don't care and all that, and that's fine, but it's not true. It's a daily obsession. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. I like it. It adds spice. It's fun. A heated rivalry, which is an obsession, is not negative to me. Now, somebody may say, yeah, but Bill, in the big picture, what difference does it make? It's just a game. Well, that's true, but we talk about the game here on the show, so it's important to us. However it stands in the grand scheme of things, it's still important to us. I would have to think the moment, first of all, the team you're playing, the moment you're in, and then how inexplicably you lose the game just has to take your heart away, right? Now, if you're an Auburn fan, it's got to be one of your peak euphoric moments ever. Despite winning the national championship in 2010 and coming close that season, 13, literally seconds away against Florida State. But if you go back in your Auburn history, if you're an Auburn fan, and you think about all the moments, really good moments and some bad moments, that right there may be the number one moment of euphoria. Yes, beating Oregon in the national championship game is just incredible. There's the newest Natty. That's a phenomenal moment. But I'm just talking about a split second in time. What seems to be a split second. The kick six. If you're an Auburn fan, your euphoria, if we could measure it, if there was a quantifiable number we could put on euphoria, we could measure it, write it down on a sheet of paper. Here's the number. I would say that moment would be the most euphoric moment, at least in modern history at Auburn, and maybe in history period at Auburn, when you're talking about sports, etc. So, yeah, back to Nick. That would have to, I would think that'd be number one. Now, it's always fun to try and get inside Nick, right? Try, how's this guy wired? How's this guy tick? What does he let go on in his mind? What does the best that's ever done it on the college level, what goes on in his mind? Because, obviously, this guy loves the grind. He loves every day. He loves the long days. He's not trying to get away from that. He's not trying to put enough money in the bank so he can get the hell out of there. He wants to do as much of this forever as he can. It's what he loves. It's his hobby. It's his life. It's his passion. He doesn't have a date set on, you know, probably around this time, I'll step aside. Just seems like a good date. He's not into all that stuff. He wants to work forever. As long as it's possible. But I just wonder, because Shannon brought that up, just you think he ever has a moment where, and very rarely is this guy not busy, right? But let's say the week or so that he takes off and he's on the lake over in Georgia. He's just chilling. You think he's just sitting there? And because with those passionate coaches that are so successful, they will all tell you that the losses hurt more than the wins make you happy. If that makes sense. Makes sense to me. The losses, particularly the stinging losses, hurt more than the wins make you happy more. So with a guy like that, you think he's sitting there on the pontoon boat, just Mother Nature, not a lot of clutter in his brain, just a rare little bit of time off. And then, just out of the blue, the kick six gets replayed in his mind. I mean, I don't know. It probably does. I don't. But, I mean, think about it. Again, the losses hurt so much. But he doesn't have many. And he's got a whole lot of winning to cover up all that. To absorb the blow. To cushion the blow of the losses. Again, he doesn't have many. What was the stat? He's got more first-round draft picks at Alabama than losses. That was just one of the stats. There are so many stats that go along with what he's gotten done there. It's almost limitless. But that's one. And that's an amazing one, too. Just business. Says, Bill, wonder how many listeners totally remember where Balls of Steel started. When, Bill, did Balls of Steel... It says, when you did Bill's Balls of Steel and picked one tough game a week was pretty cool for a while. You weren't half bad at it. Yeah, now what had happened was... I think my... What did we call that? It was, and this is pre-Crazy Charlie. Crazy Charlie wouldn't remember this. I would pick a game for the week, college football season, and I would do a spiel on it, and I would always have an audio drop that was totally unrelated to the game, but was kind of out there, right? Like the girl at the NBA game who was trying to say, something like double dribble, and instead she said double something else. Remember that? And we played it, and there was no script there. And I would pick a lock, and then I would finish with, this team's going to win, and hell's coming with them, or something, and I would scream it. I would scream it. It would break the microphone. Now, we were in Maryland Farms back then. We were on the second or third floor, and behind me in the booth was glass that you could see into the lobby, and you could see all these other offices. They also had glass on the interior where you could see across to anybody's office. Somebody could be in a board meeting at a big corporate table. You could see them. And you're pretty much protected there, you know, with the walls and everything. Well, when I would scream that, pretty much everybody would turn around and look. And this was an office building. This was not a media or radio or whatever. Rivals had their offices there, but this is a big building. I mean, relatively speaking. So you had contractors in there, you had contractors, builders, you had accounting offices, you had rehab facilities for people with orthopedic needs, you had real estate offices, whatever you can think of, they were there. They also had a really cool kiosk in the lobby that I love, where you had this lady, and every day I walked out of there, she fixed me California rolls. Fresh sushi right there. Couldn't have been a nicer. I'd love that. I used to even sometimes come back, if I'd swing back through and grab some lunch from her. Love that place. Anyway, it's still there. But again, when we broke up, when Rivals sold to Yahoo and then I got into it with Yahoo and we ended up not getting a contract done, I moved to the Baby Space Needle. So that was the end of that building. But yeah, that started it. And then later in the Baby Space Needle, we'd started Balls of Steel. But they weren't really related. I mean, I guess somehow maybe one begot the other, but and one kind of morphed, but I don't think I was thinking that at the time. We did that for a few years. We also did, and Crazy Charlie brought this up, I only did one or two. I mean, I didn't do many, but the pep talk thing, the one I did with Georgia, Missouri, and I played like I was talking to the Missouri team, that's another one. We used to do a lot more of that than we do today. And I got to tell you, for me now, those things are not scripted at all. If I sit down and start writing stuff out, it does not work well. I don't like that. It's got to happen organically. Just turn the mic on and go. I do that way better than, okay, we're going to do this thing on the show tomorrow, and we're going to write this out. It would not go well. No, that's a lot of people do their business that way in this world. If they're going to do some kind of skit or whatever, I don't do well like that. I don't feel like I can be creative that way. I am more creative when it just happens, seat of the pants. Yeah, just business, that's good. Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, all the good ideas on this show, other than Crazy Charlie coming up with commitments, almost all the good ideas happen just, oh, wow. Wow, I think that thing's going to stick. That's how it happens for the most part. Josh up in London. Bill, the Iron Bowl is not Buckeyes versus the B word. He uses the B word up north. It depends. Right now it's better than that because Michigan's not competing. Now, are there some years that Ohio State and Michigan might be more compelling? Yes, that's possible. That's the only football series that can rival Alabama-Auburn. For day-to-day passion and also history. Now, you're going to throw, and I'm not looking for a bunch of people tweeting me, oh, Bill, what about this one over here? That's good, but whatever you tweet me is not going to equal those, okay? It might for you, and that's fine. But it won't resonate nationally like these do. But the problem, again, with Ohio State and Michigan is Michigan, and I think Michigan fans would even admit they're not doing their part. Not at all. Jim down in Jupiter. Bill says, one moment, Chris Davis from Auburn is returning a pick six. Then the next, he's getting posterized by a Kelvin Benjamin in Florida State. Yeah, Benjamin's such a tough matchup. 6'6". So he can wall you off. He's athletic. His hands are fantastic. Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, you're only as good as your last play. I'll tell you what, though. Chris Davis is still going to... His name will forever be popular. I can promise you that. Anyways, there's the break. Griff coming up a little later, hour number three, Tuesday edition, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Thank you.
Good morning. Traffic's been busy out here, no doubt. It's coming down through Madison right now on 65 southbound. Still trying to finish that wreck out there on 40 east near the airport at Donaldson Pike. That one still has its slow go in the Kingston Springs area on 40 eastbound around the 193 mile marker as you come in past McCroy Lane. Keep that in mind coming in from Dixon County. There's a bit of a delay there on 40 eastbound going through Kingston Springs. Hey, Ripley's Aquarium PJ Party with the Penguins is coming up on June 5th. All the details, Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Bob's Steak and Chop House, located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. Bob's Steak and Chop House offers the classic steakhouse experience. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 10 p.m. And they've got complimentary valet parking available. Bob's Steak and Chop House, located 5th Avenue downtown at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville, or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville. When was the last time you did something fun with family, friends, co-workers, and clients? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers affordable entertainment for all ages? That's what you'll find at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro, with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville or Murfreesboro, where they feature additional fun with bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. For today, mostly sunny, high 69. Tonight, chance of showers, cloudy, lows 49. Sunshine for Wednesday, high 66. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, lows near 47. Utilizing the resources of the Weather Bug Network on Nashville Sports Radio on WNSR, my name is Rocky.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Biscuits, Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel does, and Bill King loves them all.
Here's a good one to Frankie down in Florida. And is he, Frankie, I forget, are you in Naples? I know you're down there. So I know you're in the southern part of Florida. He's a vet down there. Went to Auburn. And he said, Bill, what are the chances of one game having a kick six? One historic matchup, Alabama-Auburn, having in its history a kick six and a punt. What was it called? Punt, Bama, punt? Yeah, punt, Bama, punt in it. Now, try to remember, and I did not watch this game in real life, meaning even on the TV. I just... this is 72, and I think at that point I was only watching some Sunday ball. Hadn't quite figured out that the college game is way better, at least in my mind. And I was just kind of getting to know everything about pro and college football. So, again, I didn't live this in real time on TV or something, but I've watched highlights of it for years. But it's the punt Bama punt game. Bama is up in this game 16-0, then it's 16-3. And Auburn blocked in the last quarter, last minutes of the game, etc. Two punts and returned them for touchdowns to win 17-16. And it was the same guy blocking the punt for Auburn both times, and the same guy. Now, I remember who the returner was, and that was David Langner. Remember that. Let me look it up. Who was the Auburn player that blocked both of the punts? Back-to-back punts he blocked that were returned for touchdown. 17-16, the punt Bama punt game. That would have been Shug Jordan against the Bear, Bear Bryant. Let me pull this up. And I never remember. It's Bill Newton for Auburn. Yeah, I never remember that name. I do. David Langner is a name I, for whatever reason, I don't forget. But obviously, I can remember Pat Sullivan and Terry Beasley and all that. But I just, this is a game. I wish I could tell you I was watching it on TV or something. And I believe it was at Legion Field. I believe it was played there. But it's considered, in the history of Alabama-Auburn, that's somewhere on the highlight reel. If I don't know that I've ever watched a just Alabama-Auburn historical video of some sort. I'm sure there's one out there. I've watched many of the highlights through the years, but I don't know if I've ever seen some sort of collage, if you will, between the two. But that's a very famous moment. Yeah, that one, Frankie, I wasn't even thinking about that. It's a good point, though. Yeah, very, very good point by Frankie down there. Johnny Vegas, Bill, Cal Stanford band on the field was the West Coast version of the pick six, a game everybody remembers. Yes, that moment, but nobody, I mean, with all due respect, Cal Stanford is not a thing. I mean, not outside of Berkeley. Or Palo Alto. And you know what? I mean, think about, I mean, I've seen some really good Harbaugh forward. Now, they faded recently. Stanford teams go back to even John Elway, et cetera. So, no, that moment is, that video clip's everywhere. He's right about that. No, he's dead on right. But as far as moments and a rivalry that resonates, I mean, I don't really have any other Cal Stanford memories than that. Now, maybe if I lived out there, maybe they would be different. Yeah, I admit that. Yeah, I if I was out there a little bit more, maybe I'd probably lock in. So Just Business says, Bill, some combo Kansas-Tennessee update. Dejon Terry, a defensive lineman, transferred this weekend from a bunch of losers, Kansas, to another in Tennessee. Tennessee sunk so low they have to recruit Kansas players. Sad for UT fans per 24/7 Sports. Tennessee needs numbers. They need numbers. Their roster is not in good shape. And that's not new. We know that. Many of the better players left. Difference makers, Henry To'o, several offensive linemen who started, two running backs, to name a few. Several recruits opted out, wanted out. I mean, that's just part of when you're struggling, not only on the field for people to see, and let's face it, Tennessee's presentation to those who watched them in 2020 was pathetic. It was absolutely the lowest of low pathetic. I don't know that I've seen a more disastrous Tennessee season in my life. And I watched the 08 team start 0-6 when Majors got mad and fired all kinds of coaches, moved players from offense to defense, defense to offense. I witnessed that whole thing. That was pretty bad that year. Now, they rescued it, and then the next year they went 11-1 and tied for the SEC title with Alabama and Auburn. It was a three-way tie before divisions. But I saw that 08 year. That was a disaster leading up to about the midway point. But nothing sinks as low as Tennessee football 2020. But the problem is not only the presentation on the field that everybody got to see, which was awful, but you've got the NCAA cloud hanging over you with no answers. You can't tell a recruit, here's exactly what we're about to get. And that's what they're going to want to know. I mean, among other things, they're going to want to know that. There are no answers. You could say, here's what we hear, here are some parameters, but you cannot tell them specifically what's about to go down. Anyways, there's the music. We'll take the break. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic's been busy out here, no doubt. It's coming down through Madison right now on 65 southbound. Still trying to finish that wreck out there on 40 east near the airport at Donaldson Pike. That one still has its slow go in the Kingston Springs area on 40 eastbound around the 193-mile marker as you come in past McCroy Lane. Keep that in mind coming in from Dixon County. There's a bit of a delay there on 40 eastbound going through Kingston Springs. Hey, Ripley's Aquarium PJ Party with the Penguins is coming up on June 5th. All the details, Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español?
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
Bom dia, like good day, good morning, I think.
I can say, je m'appelle David, but that's probably it.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
This year is my year to get fluent in Spanish, and Babbel is definitely going to help me do that. The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real-life situations.
I've tried other language learning apps and nothing really stuck. Babbel's been a complete game-changer for me.
Hoy es miércoles y el clima está muy bueno afuera.
Estoy conforme. Yo no tomé café de mañana.
Je suis des États-Unis et du vivant too.
Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank. Your money.
Smart choice.
We need the forklift over here.
Indeed, knows unexpected growth can stretch your business thin.
Okay, those molds need to be adjusted. The shippers are coming at noon, so we got to get this done.
Like at Dennis's plastic startup, to stay flexible, he needs to get started hiring right away.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. And the moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show. Kathy Lee Gifford.
Boy, do you guys know how to treat a lady. I'm an entertainer. I came out of the womb with a rim shot and a pratfall. And I'm not going to change. That's who I am.
Wow.
To me, it could have been a piece of poo-poo. It was paying my bills, baby.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Music City Todd approved. The Bill King Show.
I mean, it's gotten to the point in the Michigan-Ohio State game, I don't even look forward to it. Now, we meet Todd every year at Bar Lines. We have this tradition. For several of us, meet Todd, and we watch the game. That's all the big rivalries that day. A little later, you've got usually 2:30 game. You got the Alabama-Auburn game. But the Michigan-Ohio State Central time starts that day usually at 11 hour time, Eastern time, noon. and I don't have any really recent fond memories of it. Now, if you're a Buckeye fan, they're all fond memories. You're killing them. I get that. I understand your angle there. I get it. But for me, I'm not looking for no competition. I'm wanting something to grab me and say, watch. I mean, I'll tell you how bad it is. When they didn't play, and you could kind of tell Michigan wasn't going to play this game. Come on. But I wasn't even disappointed. You would think I would be. I just, whatever. Don't play. I'll get over it. Take me about 1/100th of a second to forget that one. That's how bad it's gotten. And I don't really, at least for now, I don't see any changing in that. Michigan's not gaining on Ohio State. They're losing ground on them. As far as I can tell. I mean, whatever measurement you want to go by right now, they're losing ground in a game that right now is not even a good game. Auburn, now I don't think Auburn's future is going to catch up to Alabama's, but Auburn at least under Gus found ways to win that game. They won almost 50% of those games. Here over, what was Gus? Gus had, what, was it 8 games? I think he won 3. Almost 50% against Alabama. And very few of those games did I ever think Auburn was better than Alabama. Most of those times I didn't. Now you could say, Bill, what about 2010? Remember, Alabama had a huge lead. That's another one. No, that's another one. Now, that Alabama team, the 2010 team, was easily Nick's knucklehead team. When we look back, probably that team will still hold the ranking as the biggest knucklehead group that Nick had in 2010. Now, he flipped it around, won the next two natties, and he won the one in 09. But that team, even Nick couldn't get to them the way he can typically get to Alabama teams. But, yeah, I mean, Gus won a bunch of 3 out of 8 against Nick is a phenomenal number. So the Alabama-Auburn game, my tentacles go up, right? My antenna goes up. I pay attention. Yeah, I pay attention. And you know, not all those games are fantastic. Memorable games, but there's a bunch of them. Yeah, and Alabama had that 10 team. Was it 24-0? It was in the 3-touchdown area lead for them. And Cam Newton and company, Superman and company, they came back and won that game. So that'd be another one. Nick's seen his share of Auburn situations to where it's just, wow. Yeah, you just, after the game, you just, even Nick, and Nick's never dumbfounded, but that's the way you feel, right? A couple of years ago, now, Auburn beat him, just a couple of years ago. Mac Jones, not Mac's best moment there. Remember he had the batted ball at the line of scrimmage, touchdown the other way? Or the deflection, whatever it was, in that one? Yeah, a lot of moments there. Many, many of them. All right, hour 3 coming up. Griff usually checks in about right after that first break. He's down in Athens, Georgia, covers the Georgia beat. I was talking to Matt Hayes about Griff the other day, like I was mentioning to you on Monday. Matt and the other college football media, national media, they find Griff very intriguing. They like Griff. No. They may goof on Griff, but they like him. So they like Griff. They may giggle about Griff's presentation, meaning how he comes across. No, Griff comes across as very professional. If you've ever seen him on Feinbaum or whatever, heard him on the show, very professional. But I'm just talking about the way he thinks. You know, Griff's unique, which I like that about him. That's part of his charm. I don't want Griff, like I've told you, to become Mr. Pragmatic. He thinks just like everybody else does. That's not Griff. That's not the Griff you and I want. We want Griff to do Griff. But Matt had him on the show the other day and just was sending me messages and said, wow, Griff's doing some really good Griff. Said he handled it perfectly when he came on their show down there in Duval County, Jacksonville. Said he handled it absolutely perfectly. Oh, somebody remind me. I need to find this message. Got another message. I get one or two every day from somebody who says, Bill, I just got my Rectech. If you're listening, I might not have returned this message. I've got a couple. One was yesterday, said, Bill, I just got my RT700. I'm doing the burn-in on it, and I'm about to cook. But I got another one that said he was driving over there to Rectech, and he needed, hey, if you hear this, send me another message. I think I did not respond to you, which I should have done. I get a lot of these, but there's one there I don't think I responded to, which is shame on me. I don't know how I'll let that slip by, and I think he needed some information. Anybody that needs my connection there, Jordan, and his number, just email me, billisking7@gmail.com, and I'll send it right back to you. He's a great guy. Yeah, that's your hookup dude at Rectech, Jordan. All right, hour three coming up. Omni.